I'd like to thank everyone for coming. It's great to see this crowd. I wish there were more minorities in the crowd, as we've been talking about earlier. As you can see from my bio, I'm involved with a number of organizations, and they all have an intersection to climate, the environment, racial justice, and food security. But today I'm going to be talking about an organization called Project Sweetie Pie and how I got involved with that organization and what that organization does. So Project Sweetie Pie was founded in 2010 by Michael Chaney, who's our executive director, and it was founded based on the potential closing of North High. So the community got together. They were concerned that closing the local high school was an affront to the community, and they wanted to make sure that they addressed that particular activity. So working with a number of organizations and community groups, they lobbied and protested and worked through that particular action for closing, and the high school remained open. In conjunction with that, Michael noticed that there was a green room that had been fallow for a number of years at the high school. He had a relationship with Rose McGee, so he said, if I'm able to get high school students to start growing sweet potatoes in this fallow green room, would you be able to buy them? So Rose had an organization that sold sweet potato pies. So that was the beginning of what we call Project Sweetie Pie. The kids start growing sweet potatoes in this room. They sold them to Rose McGee to make sweet potatoes, and that was the impetus of Project Sweetie Pie and how they got that name. So Project Sweetie Pie is a 501c3 nonprofit, and our primary focus is food security, specifically focused in North Minneapolis. Some of you may know that North Minneapolis has been designated as a food desert. So what does that mean from the federal government's perspective? That means that access to healthy foods from the local residents is a burden. It's a burden even from the standpoint of not having access through grocery stores and local markets, or because transportation is an issue. As I explained to some of the folks earlier, there are individuals in North Minneapolis who have to take a bus in order to get access to healthy foods. So it's a burden when you have to take a bus downtown, come back up to the grocery store, buy your groceries, then take the bus back downtown just to take another bus to get to your home. That limits your access, that increases your burden because you have transportation costs, and then you're limited by how much food you can carry at one point in time. So what Project Sweetie Pie has been doing is that we worked with the city of Minneapolis, and we do community gardens. We have 10 lots that we lease from the city of Minneapolis. They're vacant lots that have been designated as available for growing foods from a community garden perspective. And we have another 20 that we get from private owners and also from landowners who want to grow food but need our assistance in how to make sure that happens. So we provide them with assistance on how to grow foods and the means to do that. So with the challenges that we have with the city lots, with some of the private lots, that's a story I'll be going into in a moment. I'd like to get into exactly how I came to work at Project Sweetie Pie. My background is in IT. I've been working in IT as project management for about 20 years. So I originally came to Minneapolis for assignment with Ameriprise. They had been asked by the FCC to disassociate themselves from American Express, and I was one of the 100 project managers that they hired to make sure that happened. So I came for the project. I lived and worked downtown in Minneapolis, and then I left. I went to an assignment in Miami at FIU University. So while on that assignment, I got a call from a recruiter that I know, And she said, oh my gosh, I've got a project manager who has abruptly left an assignment, and I don't want to lose that client. So would you be willing to take over that assignment? I will increase your hourly rate and all of that. So me, operating from a standpoint of greed, because of the amount of money she was offering, I said, this is great. So at the time, I didn't quite ask her where was the project. So as we move forward a little bit, I said, I called her back. I said, where is this project? And she said, it's in Golden Valley. I'm like, oh, wow, that must be California. This is awesome. I said, okay, I'm moving from Miami to California. So I said, oh, Golden Valley, great. So she said, well, what's the name of the company? She said, it's Allianz. I said, oh, wait a minute, they are based in Europe. You know, Sweden. I said, this is getting even better. So finally, I said, okay, so where is it? She said, well, you'll be going to Golden Valley, Minnesota. I was like, I'm sorry, what? Minnesota? Okay, I was just there about 6 months ago. So I came to work at Allianz. It was supposed to be a six-month assignment that morphed into 3 years. I bought a house. I started gardening. I started working with Project Sweetie Pie. We started doing a number of things in the community. And I guess the rest is history, so to speak. So I'm here. I've been here 12 years, not leaving, totally immersed and involved with a number of organizations you see listed on my bio, and a special place in my heart for Project Sweetie Pie because of our focus on food security and making sure that the residents of North Minneapolis have access to healthy foods. Now, that activity has morphed into a number of things, both politically, from a health perspective, from a transit perspective, from working with government agencies, from working with our political leaders, from working with the medical community. So that access has also involved us in crime prevention. And you'll say, well, wait a minute, how does having a community garden impact crime prevention? Well, we've been written up and noted in newspapers that the fact that we have young people working in the dirt, so to speak, has reduced crime. There's a cathartic approach to working in the dirt and gardening that it has on people. There's a mental and emotional aspect of being able to connect with the earth and connect with growing. So we've seen that morph and present itself in so many areas, and we're very proud of that impact. Our Project Sweetie Pie works with kids in daycare centers where we have them grow food at their daycare center. And we've got pictures on our website of kids who are just absolutely ecstatic because they found a worm in the dirt. We love our kids. We love the young folks. We love our adults. We love our teens. We love all of the community, especially working in the garden and being able to grow your own food. So you probably wonder, why is that significant? People growing their own food, that's real cute, you know. So what impact is that going to have on the community, Catherine? What are you doing from that perspective? Well, we're doing a lot. A lot of folks in North Minneapolis, as Ben pointed out, have a lot of challenges. Every day is a challenge. There are people who don't know where their next meal is coming from or what that next meal looks like. We have an oversaturation of fast food restaurants where it's less expensive for me to get a Happy Meal than it would be for me to buy an orange at the local store because of the cost. So how do I encourage, how do we as an organization, how do we as a community encourage people, provide access to people for healthy foods in order to address some of the health disparities and other issues that our community faces. You know, I can stand up here as one type of individual who's able to come out and talk about and advocate for a lot of the food and economic issues that our community faces. But there are people who don't have the luxury of being able to do that. For most of the positions that I hold, I am not paid. I'm a volunteer. There are people in my community who don't have that so-called luxury to be able to do that. People wonder, well, why don't we see more minorities at these events? Where are you people? You're disproportionately impacted by the climate change and the environmental overburden in your community. I live in zip code 55411. There are over 400 toxin sites identified by the MPCA in my zip code. There's another 300 in the adjoining zip code in North Minneapolis. So we're an environmentally overburdened community. We get the brunt of so many toxins and so many, so many issues related to the environment. So how do I bring those people? How does our organization bring those people into the fold? We've been doing that by community gardens. We have neighbors who work with each other in these gardens, support each other. And it's amazing to see how excited they get about growing their own food and the first tomato in their hand that they've grown themselves, and how important that is to the community to be able to do that. You think it sounds real great and kumbaya moment, but there are some challenges to, I'll start with the community gardens that we work in that are city-owned lots. There are folks who work in these lots. We have a lease with the city for these 10 lots, and there are others that are available in other organizations who have those. However, they're a one-year lease. And as Bailey pointed out, we are also subject to being booted out if a developer wants that land. So even if we have it for a year or multiple years, which we've had a number of them for 5 years and up, we worked on the soil, we've had people there, community involvement, all of that just to know that if a developer wants that land, we've got 30 days to go. So that's a challenge that we face with the city, with their city-owned lots. Fortunately, we have private owners who support us, who are interested in our cause, who are interested in the community, and they are our bailiwick, so to speak, of how we move forward. But we need to make changes to the city policy. Now, it's not all negative as far as the city. They've established a green zone initiative, and I'm one of the Green Zone Task Force members for North and Northeast Minneapolis. And we have 12 points of light, and that information is available on the Minneapolis website about the Green Zone for the North and Northeast. There's also one for the South and Southeast, and that is to specifically address the overburden of the people who live in North and Northeast. Some of you know that we have the Duffy Paper Company. We have Northern Meadows. You know about the lawsuit and some of the challenges with the moving the burner portion of the Northern Meadows out of Minneapolis. But we do have government agencies who are working to support us. We have the Park Board, who has a agricultural policy in place. They are allowing fruit trees to be grown. They had to actually change the law so that people would be able to pick the fruit from those trees because it was illegal to do so. So there are changes going on there. We have changes happening at the legislative level. If you want to look it up, we have House File 2738, and that is to establish a community portal that will address food issues and establish a food system throughout the state that ensures that residents have access to healthy foods no matter where they are. We also have the Hennepin County, who has focused on recyclables and composting. We do composting at our gardens. Local residents are interested in that, and we call that our first harvest. It's not waste. We don't believe in waste. Project Sweetie Pie's philosophy is that there is no waste. It's all reusable and recyclable. There are also more efforts from the city of Minneapolis. I think Ben talked about some of the things from a climate perspective and energy perspective as well. So Project Sweetie Pie and its efforts to bring food security to local residents has many tentacles and many aspects. We've been working on a number of issues at the state, local, and national level to make sure that our residents have access to healthy foods and that food security is something that they can count on and that's available to them at all costs. Some of the challenges that we face as an organization is how to get more and more minorities involved, people of color, people who have their day-to-day lives and, like I said, may not have the luxury of being involved. To their credit, they are interested. They are concerned, even though they may not show up at these sessions. We seek to be part of their representation. We seek to make sure their voices are heard. We seek to make sure that their needs are put at the forefront of all of the activities related to not only climate change, but agriculture and other issues around economic development, food security, and other issues. I've been working on the Upper Harbor Terminal project and what that means to the community. For those who may not know, that's 48 acres on the Mississippi River. It's public land, and it's in North Minneapolis. The city has a concept plan that they've been working on with the chosen developers, but we are asking through a number of community-led organizations that this land remain under the ownership of the community. We don't know what that legal structure would look like. It could be a co-op, it could be a land trust, but we wanna make sure that the community has ownership and maintains ownership of that land. So some of just points here when we're talking about the cooperatives, you may not know, but of the 100 agricultural co-ops, Minnesota has the number one, and that is CHS in Inver Grove Heights. The number two would be Land O'Lakes. So we have co-op models. There are also 9 additional co-ops that are on the 100 agricultural list from a national level. So Minnesota is at the forefront of agricultural co-ops, partnerships, and working together when we're talking about agriculture, and we want to continue that. As Ben pointed out, we can't do this alone. We work with a number of organizations. We have about 40 environmental groups who work with us, and we also work with what we call Outer Minnesota for Farming. Lastly, because I'm starting to fade out here, is the fact that Project Sweetie Pie is looking to have significant season extension. And one way to do that would be to build what we're calling a deep winter greenhouse. University of Minnesota has an aggressive and extensive plan for a greenhouse, and that's something we're looking for so that our residents will have year-round access to healthy food in the community. So with that, I will end my presentation before I lose my voice altogether. It's great to see you folks. I intend to, if you remain, to talk to you individually about what's going on with Project Sweetie Pie and get some of your feedback and input, because we work together, we want to work together, and you're all important to our efforts. Thank you.